The date was April 15, 1952. It was early morning when the Navy corpsman strode down the hallway at the Naval Hospital in Oceanside, California. Cradled in one arm was a newborn. Cradled in the corpsman's other arm were clean linens. Somewhere in one of the many wards of the hospital, the corpsman stopped at the bedside of a first-time mother and said, "Mrs. Judson, here is your new son. And here are new linens. Please get up as soon as you can and change the linen on your bed." So all of you who are going to Beaumont now? And so my mother takes this sort of squirming little thing, and she is probably 1,500 miles at least away from the closest family member. My dad is getting ready to ship out to Korea in the Marines. And here she is. And so a few days later, my mother and dad, they go to sort of what for the moment was their temporary housing. And my brother screams and screams and screams. And finally, my mother, and this was her telling of the story, she's holding David and she turns to my father and says, "What do I do with this child?" I see a mother here patting her daughter's knee. What do I do with this child, right? This is one of those sort of eternal questions. How many of you have ever asked that of those of you who are parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, right? And we don't just ask it right when they're infants. We ask it forever, right? But they can be 40 years old and we're still asking, what do I do with this child? But for eons, the answer was clear. You made them work. Children were just sort of micro adults, and they really weren't of any use until they were old enough to watch the animals or dig in the fields or go hunting or gather crops or berries. Children were to work, and what's fascinating is that has not gone away. We support one of the missionaries that we support in Kenya, Faith Kasoni. Part of her job is going to meet with people in the Samburu tribe, which is where she's from, and trying to convince parents that their daughters, and it's only the daughters, should be allowed to go to school, because that tribe says, no, the role of the daughters is to stay home. It is to watch the goats and the cattle. And so she works at this constantly to try and get children to do something other than work. And even here in the United States, you'll still find children and young adults who migrate across the country picking crops, whether it's up north or out in California. And so one of the answers seems to have been, what do you do with this child? You make them work. Now, somewhere along the way, we began to change our minds and decide that children ought to learn. But the question became, how do they learn? What do they learn? Where do they learn? Do they learn in public schools? Do they learn in private schools? How many children are in classroom? What kind of curriculum should you use? What kind of training should you have for your teachers? How do you incorporate everyone into the life of the educational system? I mean, and so we say, well, what do we do with this child? And even when we say we educate him, we struggle to sort of figure this out. And part of it is, what do we teach them? What do we do with these children to keep them safe? I mean, I know that in a certain age, my brothers and I were given free rein for miles. I mean, miles and miles, just put us on our bikes and we'd be gone all day and no one cared. And today, a mother got arrested for letting her child walk to the park by herself. I mean, do we wrap our children in bubble wrap? And or do we do what Cindy and I did? It's like, oh, let them eat dirt. You know, it's fine. So how do we protect them? What do we do with this child? What do we do with these children? Well, I'll tell you what my mother ultimately did and what she decided to do. My mother decided to trust in Spock and the Saints. Now, I know that sounds like a Star Trek pop group, right? Spock and the Saints. But it's not. Spock, in this case, yes, Dr. Spock and his baby and child care book. That my mother stumbled upon this and said that it saved her sanity and our lives. The Saints, well, to understand her understanding of the Saints, we'll just sort of take a slight detour. Now, growing up, I grew up as a Presbyterian, and so I didn't grow up as my Catholic friends did, where all across the sanctuary you have saints, right? You have, in South Texas, there's Santos. You have all of these saints. And the only saints I knew about were those in the paintings on the walls or the Sunday school, and they were of these men. It was always men who were obviously followers of Jesus, St. Matthew, St. Paul, and they had these funny, glowy things. I see someone smiling back here. Some funny, glowy things over their head that I learned were halos. And being the strange child that I was, I wondered, do they go out at night? What happens when you shower? Do they, you know, do you take them off, put them back on? It just seemed very strange to me. And so that's what I thought of as the saints. But what my mother and dad taught me, my mother being the good Southern Baptist become Presbyterian, was that those were not the only saints. That the saints were every member of St. Paul Presbyterian Church where my brothers and I grew up. Those were the saints because they had been set apart by God for a particular purpose. And we hear Paul use this language of saints in this opening piece from Corinthians. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified, which means to be set apart for a particular job with God, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. What my mother understood clearly was that God had called all of those members of St. Paul Presbyterian Church and had set them aside to be a community to help rear every child who came into that church. And my mother knew she could depend upon Mr. Farnsworth, who was this wonderful man with a strange toupee and an ascot, who knew the name of every child. And there were hundreds of children, but he knew them all. She could depend on the Wilburns to teach Sunday school and to lead in scouts and to help my brothers and I become the people we were supposed to become. She knew that she could depend upon the saints to help her do those things that she couldn't do by herself. And so what I want to do this morning is take a moment and help us, since we're reclaiming our identity, that's part of this series is about, is to help us think about what it means to reclaim our identity as a sanctified, a church filled with saints, a sanctified church, when it comes to our children and our youth. What does it mean? The bottom line is that God has set all of us in this place apart to help one another rear our children in the love and admonition of God. This is what we've been called to do. This piece out of Deuteronomy is what we've been called to do. Hear, O Lord, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Keep these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise up. I know sometimes we think this is part of the commandments given to Moses on Sinai, and sometimes we think about those as sort of hard-nosed kind of rules, but it's not just rules, it is this passion of God that we and our children learn to love God like God loves us, that our children don't walk around fearing and being afraid of God, but that they learn to love God. These things in your heart, Moses says. And that's part of what it means to be a sanctified church, is that we are set apart to help one another raise our children and our youth, because, folks, it really does take a village to raise a child. And one of the things that we do as a church is every time a child is baptized, and one of the things that people often ask me when they're going to have their children baptized is, do you have godparents? How many of you have ever been a godparent to someone, right? Okay. Wrong. All of you are godparents. That's what we as Presbyterians believe. So let's do it again. How many of you have been godparents? Okay, much better. That we answer these two questions. Will you, by your prayers and witness, help this child to grow into the full stature of Christ? Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture this child by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging him or her to know and follow Jesus Christ? See, this is what we commit to as saints. This is what it means to be the community of the saints, to be a sanctified church, is that we become godparents for every child to help pray for them and teach them and get to know who they are and to greet them and to love on them. So that's the first part. There are two parts. That's the first part. That's sort of the in-house sense of what it means to be a sanctified church with children. The second half of being a sanctified church with children is that we are to love every child. Every child. Because every child is a child of God. Now, I realize that's a tall order. The world is filled with 7.2 billion people, and a quarter of those are children. So, it's a lot of children. 1.8 million, if I did my math right. And the question is, how do we love all of those children? Why should we love all of those children? Why aren't we just supposed to be the saints in here? And the answer is that when Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment, he goes to this piece out of Deuteronomy, which, by the way, is called the Shema. It is repeated again and again within the Jewish community. He goes to the Shema and says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he tells them who neighbor is. Neighbor, turns out, is everybody. Every man, every woman, every child. Even those who don't share the same faith, even those who don't share the same neighborhood or physical geographic space. And so part of what being the sanctified church is about is that we are to be engaged in helping to ensure that all children grow into the people that God has created them and designed them to be. And again, I realize this can be a very overwhelming task. But I think all that God asks is that we find a place to do this. And there are lots of places to do this. There's Boys and Girls Clubs. There's Faith Community Coalition on Foster Care. There's FAR. There's a lot of places we could do it. But one of the things that God has done for us as a sanctified community is that God has given us this partnership with Alcott Elementary School. How many of you out there are volunteers at Alcott in one way or the other? How many of you have given to Shop and Drop? Okay? Right. And so the gift we've been given is that we have the opportunity to step outside of these walls and to step into a place like Alcott and make a difference in the life of a child. Now, I have to say, when I'm out there, there are days when I'm not sure I've actually taught the children I've been with much of anything. Okay? An hour and a half. But what I've shown them is that they matter. They matter. By us bringing food through Shop and Drop, it says to those hungry families, you matter, you are important to God. By our presence there, we say the same thing. You matter, you're important, you're smart, you can learn. And so we've been given these opportunities here within this church to be the saints, to work with parents and grandparents here in this place, but we've also been given the opportunity to work outside in other places to partner with parents and teachers and administrators. And the best part is that if you listen to the end of Paul's words, he says that we are not lacking in any spiritual gift. He says we've been given all we need to do these two things. To be the saints inside this place and the saints outside of this place. We are equipped. And so my challenge for you all for this week is to ask yourself this question. How am I being part of the saints of this church in such a way that I am helping others to rear their children to become the people God wants them to be? How am I being part of the saints, partnering with parents and others, and helping their children become the people God wants them to be? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise that you have called us, you've gifted us, you have set us apart for the task of being saints. Saints to one another, saints to strangers. Help us live fully into that identity this week and always. In Christ's name, amen.